Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in, folks. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon, that's for sure. Well, you know, we're getting ready to play one of my favorite games, and that's Where in the World is Stuart Acuff? Stuart, welcome back.
Hey, it's great to be with you and your listeners, Charles, as usual. Great to be on your program.
Always.
And I am at Temple University Hospital in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, where we're doing an internal organizing campaign.
So, in other words, if you get thrown out, you'll let us know, and we'll pick up with you back in the parking lot. So, the long and short of this, yeah, been there. Actually, you got him to let me finish the conversation on the phone first. But the long and short of this is some interesting things going on down in Tennessee with Volkswagen. The maintenance workers, they won the election.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing, a huge thing, an amazing thing, a great thing that the skilled maintenance workers at the Volkswagen plant in Chattanooga joined the UAW by a two-thirds vote through the National Labor Relations Board election process. It's the first time that workers have organized at a transplant automobile plant in the South through the National Labor Relations Board process.
Right.
And it's a very, very significant step. I mean, one of the things that's most significant is, by all reports from Volkswagen, they're going to expand that facility.
Right.
And those of us who have any familiarity with industrial production know that the only people who really have the ability to move around the plant and talk to everybody are the skilled maintenance guys, because they have to move around the plant. They have to keep everything going. And usually production workers are confined to their area. You know, one of the maxims of organizing, it's not a truism, but it is a maxim. It's something to be aware of, is that when you start a campaign, whether it's in an industrial facility, a manufacturing plant, a hospital, you start with the most highly skilled workers first, because they're the ones that have the most power in a facility vis-a-vis management. And they're the ones, quite often, that are the most looked up to. You know, the guys on a metal lathe who can take a piece of steel and make it look like artwork, or who can make something fit down to within hundredths of a centimeter, those guys are often the most respected in the plant, and certainly the most necessary.
Right.
In a plant which makes them the most vital and also makes them the most powerful. So this is a very big deal. I think there's a really good chance they will get a good contract. I know that. And I think there's a very good chance that the production workers at Volkswagen will follow them. I just hope Volkswagen goes back to the position it held last year, which is the workers shouldn't have to go through a terrible National Labor Relations Board process, that Volkswagen ought to recognize their right to have a union and begin bargaining as soon as possible.
Now, wait a second. You know, why should we not want Senator Corker to waste taxpayer funding? I mean, you know, the man is bound and determined to have a stroke over a union in a Volkswagen plant in his state, because, oh my God, they're going to get paid more. There's going to be more tax revenue for fixing potholes and more cops and all the other kind of wonderful things out there. And, oh, by the way, all those manufacturing facilities are going to pop up because they're making parts for Volkswagen. Oh my God,
absolutely.
They're going to make money too.
Right. They're going to make money. The retail stores are going to make money. The little grocery stores, the restaurants, the gas stations. Everybody who does business with the residents of that community, when I say community, I mean all of Chattanooga and the surrounding area, because, you know, with jobs like that, people travel for 50 or 100 miles, particularly from rural areas, to work every day. And so the question for Corker is, why did he want to hold his people down? If Volkswagen last year, a year ago, was willing to recognize the union and bargain a contract, why was Corker so bound and determined to hold people down, to deny them opportunity, and to deny what can be a financial windfall and economic windfall for that community? By the way, Chattanooga is Corker's town. He was mayor of Chattanooga when he became United States Senator. And his, you know, his intervention in this is just horrible, unprincipled, and unthinkable for a public official.
The only thing I can say is, I'm not going to go there. But the long and short of this is, Volkswagen, not only are they unionizing, and, oh, by the way, the folks that make Volkswagens in Germany make more than Chevy and Ford folks do up in Michigan. Okay, I'm just saying.
Absolutely.
And in addition to this, oh my goodness gracious sakes alive, Volkswagen may turn around and bring in more vehicles and expand that plant. Oh my God, there'll be more people with union jobs. What are we going to do?
Right. Part of their opposition to the UAW, United Automobile Workers, Corker and the other right-wing Republican politicians who tried to get in the way of the organizing, part of their opposition is ideological. They just hate unions just out of ideological reasons. They have no rational reason to. Their rational reason for hating unions is that unions give power to working people, and they give influence to working people, and unions work hard to mobilize their workers, their members, to vote and to be active in politics and in the political process, and by extension in the democratic process. And we know that the radical right wing hates that.
I got an idea that I think is probably going to get Senator Corker to feel a little bit better about this. What we're going to do is have a Volkswagen on their paychecks that they print out. Instead of having the Volkswagen emblem on it, we'll put Corker's picture there. We'll call them Corker checks. And, if you get a Corker check, maybe you'll vote for Corker. I don't know. Maybe you'll be happy then.
You're being a little too charitable, my friend.
Yeah. What politician?
Remember that this guy, and I know you've got folks in Tennessee, as you know, that's my home, listening to us right now, because they tell me about what I said on the Union Edge program. They tell me about what I'm doing from what they hear on the Union Edge program. Let's not forget that Bob Corker was a guy who defeated his opponent in the 2006 senatorial race by using racism, by running racist ads against Harold Ford Jr. and racist TV ads. And were it not for the racism that Corker, held back until the very end, the last 2 weeks, and I know because I worked on that campaign. In fact, I ran the labor side of that campaign. If it had not been for those racist ads, we would have elected in Tennessee the first African-American from a southern state since Reconstruction. And we would have elected a very good Democrat as senator from Tennessee. And it was only the racism that Corker unveiled at the end of the campaign that defeated Harold Ford. And it's something I will never forget and never stop talking about when I talk about Corker and his capacity for meanness and for political evil.
Well, there you go. Stuart, we're going to take a short break. We'll come back. We'll talk some more, okay?
Great.
I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.
Today, my new dad and I shot off a rocket in the park.
Today, my new son and I failed to shoot off a rocket.
He knew exactly what to do.
I had no clue what I was doing.
We set up the rocket.
Hit
ignition.
And then? And then nothing. Sometimes I laugh when I'm frustrated.
Then out of nowhere, the rocket launched into the air.
The rocket did get into the air.
I've never seen anything fly so high.
And then crashed into a kite.
Look out!
And then the pond.
I'll never forget that day.
Even if I tried.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of kids in foster care will take you just as you are. For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
You know how it goes. You're working on a grievance, filling out paperwork. A phone call comes in. Somebody's got a problem. You get distracted. When you finally return to your office, there's a stack of messages to deal with. Two people waiting to see you. Pretty soon, that grievance you were tracking, gone. But now there's LaborTrax, the software solution for unions. LaborTrax standardizes and streamlines tracking management and contract compliance. Your work in progress is always at hand. Learn more about LaborTrax at www.labortrax.com.
You don't usually get a stock tip from a 16-year-old, but I'm here to tell you about a different kind of stock. It's called Better Futures, a stock for social change that's not about making money. Instead, you invest to help students like me go to college, which ends up making the future better for all of us. My name is Alicia, and I'm your dividend.
Invest in better futures with UNCF. Visit uncf.org/invest. A mind is a terrible thing to waste, but a wonderful thing to invest in. Brought to you by UNCF and the Ad Council.
Let's get America working. We must build, maintain, and repair our nation's crumbling infrastructure. Teamsters support a bipartisan approach to creating good jobs for American workers. Learn more at letsgetamericaworking.com. Teamsters strong, America stronger.
I make learning a privilege, not a chore, and frustration a tool, not an obstacle. I'm a teacher. I make more.
Make more. Teach. Visit teach.org. Brought to you by Teach and the Ad Council.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thanks for tuning in. We enjoy your company, that's for sure. Joining me now from Philadelphia and 1199, we've got Director of Organizing, Organizer Extraordinaire, Stuart Acuff. Stuart, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Charles. Thanks for the compliment. I'm very happy to be with you.
Always a pleasure, Stuart. Always a pleasure. Appreciate it. You know, we've been talking a little bit about, you know, the politics and the ideology. You know, it's like shooting yourself in the foot. If you're a politician, you should want your constituents to do as well as they can possibly do. Yeah?
Absolutely.
Okay. So if you say you can't have a union, there's a 20% pay cut right there. Boom.
Right there.
Okay.
Absolutely.
There goes a defined benefits package. You're lucky if you get a 401 or a 201K.
Right.
You know, so these are the problems that the politicians will get into on behest of their big campaign donors. But you know what? I'm pretty sure that Volkswagen is not a campaign donor to Bob Corker.
I don't think they're ever going to be a campaign donor, and I don't think that would be legal funding.
Foreign company,
foreign corporations. You know, to take it one step further, going back to a book I wrote at the end of the last decade when we were trying to get out of our economic crisis called Getting America Back to Work, that 20% loss in wages becomes a 20% loss in spending power, becomes a 20% loss in consumer demand, becomes a 20% tax in effect on your retail operations, your grocery stores, your gas stations, your restaurants. That money taken away from workers by disallowing them the right to form a union and bargain collectively is a tax on your whole economy.
Right.
And it's a shame that the country is being being influenced by these radical right-wingers and corporate bigwigs who can't stand the idea of anybody getting any money but themselves. And, of course, that ideology has caused a 40-year crisis in stagnant wages, and the economic crisis that we had in 2007 and 2008 that plunged us into a recession or a depression if you lost your job, you know, huge unemployment, and we've been digging out of, thank goodness, because President Obama was elected president. Never would have been able to dig out of it if another Republican had taken over. And speaking of President Obama, I have to say this. I just saw this. I did not know this was happening.
He was born in Kenya? Oh, sorry. No, that was Cruz, born in Canada. Oh.
Cruz was born in Canada to a mother who was not a citizen, by the way.
Yeah, that's, you know, that's going to be interesting, and I'll hit the push test on that one, because Dad, you know, listen, he was born in Canada, so he's a Canadian citizen. He was born to a Cuban national, so he's a Cuban citizen. And if Mom renounced her citizenship because she was a Canadian citizen, but I don't know if she renounced her citizenship. If she did, he's done. Hell, he can't be in the Senate.
I just read that there is evidence that she had renounced her citizenship. So let the birthers come home and roost with that one. I was going to say about the president. I just read that he has zeroed out the federal government budget. In other words, he's zeroed out the deficit. We are running, that's not the same thing as the debt, but we're running within our means year to year now. And you won't see the radical right wing do that.
Hey, you know what? Okay. We've got no deficit. Okay.
Right.
I'm not saying
anything.
You're right. Debt and deficit are two different things. Okay.
Right.
Osama bin Laden's dead.
Right.
A bunch of his cronies are dead.
Right. A whole bunch.
Yeah, a whole bunch. GM's alive.
The
gas is at $2 a gallon.
Right.
You know, I mean, you know, what's it take? You know, stock market's at all-time highs.
Right.
You know, what's it take?
Well,
you know, he should have cured cancer. That's it.
what it takes is us mobilizing our folks, because our folks can run this country if they will.
Mm-hmm.
And quite frankly, we have to get money out of politics, because, you know, money is corrupting our democratic process and is destroying bit by bit our democratic system. And we've got to be able to stop folks like Charles and David Koch being able to buy up airtime without putting their name on it and run ads, quote, independent of the campaign, but they're not really independent of the campaign, and sinking millions and millions of dollars into it. Remember, the Koch brothers have announced they have $900 million to spend in this election, $900 million. Now, if that's not an assault on democracy, and that's not an assault on American workers, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I agree with you, Stuart, but you know what? The more and more the people come to the understanding, the more and more they see the radical ones out there talking the way they're talking about African-Americans, Mexican-Americans, women, Syrians.
Right.
Yeah, you know.
Disabled people.
Disabled people,
disabled
veterans.
People.
Yeah.
Violating the U.S. Constitution as it relates to religious freedom, as it relates to the First Amendment and freedom of speech, violating the U.S. Constitution over and over again. The very same people who are sworn to uphold the Constitution have turned around and are violating it right and left.
Right. Absolutely. Absolutely. And Stuart, the more people continue to see this, the more people continue to hear the rhetoric to, you know, they're getting turned off. And I mean, and yeah. I mean, you know, we see that Donald Trump is leading in most places. He's at, what, 25-30%? But folks,
36 now.
36%. Okay, he's got 36% right. of the people that are going to vote in the Republican primary.
Right. Well, all of them won't vote.
Right.
He's got 36% of the people who call themselves Republicans or leaning Republican who are, you know, engaging in a poll.
Right.
And this far out, that doesn't mean much, except that we need to be aware of who this guy is and what a danger he is to our country.
Yeah. And what his cronies are like, too.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. There, you know, there's not a one of them. There's not a single person running for the Republican nomination who is not a right-wing extremist. Not a who does not have an agenda to at least weaken, if not to destroy, democracy. You have the theocrats who want to set up a government controlled by their favorite religion against the Constitution. You have the oligarchs and the plutocrats who want to set up a government controlled by the folks with money and the corporations. And some people, even some Republicans, say that there are people who are latent fascists who are running in the Republican primary. So this is a very, very serious matter. And
hey, can't we get Huckabee to pray the fascist away?
Yeah, I'm not sure the good Lord is listening to Huckabee these days.
Yeah, I'm not sure he's listening to him right now either. You know, that's another story in and of itself. And, you know, a friend of mine told me something very interesting the other day. Okay. In the mm-hmm. Bible, according to the Bible, life begins at first breath, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Just saying. Think right. about that one, folks.
Yeah, about that one.
It at first breath.
Right.
Never mind.
Right.
Okay. So, yeah. It's my Bible. I can read it any way I want to. Dear Lord, please. Stuart, yeah. Listen, we got to get going, brother. We appreciate you being with us. How do we find
Thank
out
you,
more
Charles.
About how do we find out more about your books?
You can email me acuff.stewart@gmail.com, acuff.stewart@gmail.com. That's the best way. You can get them from Amazon or Barnes & Noble. You can order them online from Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And the second book, I'm very happy to say, has been published now for 2 or 3 years, has been published electronically. So you can download it onto mm-hmm. your pad or your Amazon Fire or Amazon Kindle, you know, any one of those devices and read it that way. You know, I'm continuing to work on a book of poetry and you can see my poetry's on my Facebook site, or you can see my poetry in a journal called Blue Collar Review, a really good, outstanding working class journal of working class poetry. And one or two of my poems is in almost every edition of it. So
all right.
Check out Blue Collar Review.
Absolutely. Stuart, we got to run, brother. We appreciate it. In the meantime, do me a favor. Stay on the line. I got a quick question for you.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.